sometimes we really have to get an understanding of the scriptures, amen, and the power of one word. As we look into 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, we're actually going to read 1 through 3. It'll take me 2 weeks to cover these three verses if I stay diligent. There is a massive amount of information in these three verses if we're going to look at it theologically and we're going to break it down. Because sometimes we fail to understand because we fail to break it down and truly understand. Amen? So when we look at this, we're going to see 1 Peter 2:1-3. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Man, I'm going to tell you, I love the book of 1 Peter and 2 Peter. I love the way he lays it out. He's kind of in your face, but he's gracious through it. Amen. He doesn't hit us too hard, but he hits us hard enough. And he pulls us back and pulls us in and reminds us. If you have noticed in the whole chapter of chapter 1, he constantly reminded us of our salvation, if you're saved, if you're born again. And then because you're born again, this is what has to happen, or this is what you need to apply, or this is what you need to look at. If you're born again. And so I want to look at the scriptures today, because in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, therefore is a huge word today. And that is the word that I'm going to speak about all morning. We will be done by 1. Yeah, thank you, Priscilla. 1 o'clock. That works for me too. All right. I'm kidding. If you're visiting, we don't go to 1. Until, but never one. We've never got it. Therefore, when you look at the word therefore, and I tell people all the time, because, you know, one of the biggest problems we have for the majority of Christians and people in general is they look at the Bible, they look at the scriptures, and then they'll grab a verse and they'll take it and they'll pull that verse out of context. They'll use it to apply to what they think it means or what they want it to mean. Pastors preach all the time, and I listen to them, and as soon as I start listening to them preach, there's one guy, man, his smile kills me. And he'll grab one verse, and he will spend an entire motivating speech the whole time on that one verse. He references it coming out of the gate, but then he never actually goes back to it. He never actually takes it in context, and he never applies it properly to what it actually means. But I see that all the time. Pastors want to do these sermon series, and people love sermon series, right? Because they're encouraging, or they do whatever they do. And so they'll take one passage and they'll take and make a sermon series out of it that really doesn't have anything to do with what the actual passage means. And it drives me crazy, because I'm thinking, man, listen, if you're going to preach or teach the Word of God, preach and teach the Word of God in the context that the author meant it, because that's the true message of the Word of God. Amen. So in order for us to do that in this situation, I thought, man, I cannot. I tried. I really did. I thought, we're going to cover three verses. It'd be fantastic. We'll move on. If you have a Bible, you will notice in your Bible, and everybody, I want everybody to look down at their Bible. Excuse me. In your Bible, you're going to see 1 through 3, chapter 2, 1 through 3, and then you're going to see a space when it goes to 4. If there's no space, you will see the number 4 being much darker than the number 3. So when you see a bolded number in your verses, that means it's a new idea, okay, or a new thought. So as you're reading scripture, you might see a space, you might see a bolded number, and then immediately in your mind, you should go, and some of yours you have study Bible, so it'll it'll give you a title there, right, of what it's about. And so you immediately, if you don't have the title, but you have the space, new idea. If you have a bolded number, new idea, new thought. So as you're reading that, that should cause you to pause and process what in this passage or in this group of verses does the author want me to get? We go to 2:1, 1 through 3 is one idea, one thought. But he starts out in 2:1 with therefore. And because of that word, we can't even go on forward until we go backward to remember what the therefore is there for. Amen? Listen, when you see a therefore, you need to find out what it's there for. Because when you do that, it now he, so Peter takes us backwards so that we can continue on. I know earlier somebody said, Pastor, every time you started to preach in chapter 1, we had to keep going back. We had to keep going back. Well, every time he says therefore or because of, we got to go back to be reminded. Peter doesn't want anybody to forget, man, it's salvation, salvation, salvation. So in 1 Peter, man, I cannot get my, that's all right. You guys will just ride the train, right? Here we go. Therefore, I want you to go back to chapter 1. You guys thought, we're moving on. We are moving on. Sometimes you got to go back. Amen. How many like you like to go back and look at the memories on your Facebook? Okay, that's just pretend. That's what we're doing. We're looking at the memories. I want you to look in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 123. Having been born again, that is the therefore. Therefore, or because you've been born again, because of salvation, this is what he's talking about. Therefore. He takes us back to 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. I like to hear, but you need to hear this. Many of us, no, all of us, let me rephrase that. All of us have been born of corruptible seed. That simply means every one of us are born into sin. We're sinners. Listen, when we're born, we are born with a sin nature, the natural tendency to do that which goes against God, right? And the Bible says that anything that goes against God is evil. So the reality is we're all born with an evil desire. And you go, I'm not evil. I didn't point at you. I just said we. Like I wanted everybody to feel included here. But that's the truth, right? How many here, I'm just really curious if you're willing to be honest, how many here have ever told a lie? Right? The rest of you are lying. How many here have ever taken something that wasn't yours, even a piece of candy? How many here have ever looked at someone with the wrong ideas? Man, see that? Guys, we are all evil. Every one of us are evil. Amen. And you might go, well, I haven't done that since this morning. So you've been perfect since this morning. And that's awesome. But what about yesterday and before, right? The idea is, and the reality is, that we are all evil because we go against God. Whether we do it on purpose or we do it just because we have this lust or this desire, or we feel entitled. Boy, I'm going to tell you, this generation growing up today has this mentality of entitlement. It takes sometimes every fiber of my being. Deep breath, right? Because it's like you're not entitled to any more than I'm entitled to, and we're only entitled to that which God says we're entitled to. And if you think you're entitled to more than that or you're above someone else, you have massive sin issues. See how easy this is to figure out? Right? I mean, I'm just like, my goal today is to help you to see truth. Now, if you feel convicted or guilty, or you think, Pastor, you should, did my wife tell you about yesterday? No, nobody told me anything. I just know reality and humans, and we are all sinful. And so Peter says, listen, therefore, 2:1, therefore we go back to 2:3, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, because we're all corrupt. The heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? So many times you're like, and some of you, when you were younger, you would look at someone, you go, I would never do that. And since then, you've done it more than once. Anybody? Amen, right? Listen, I'm just telling you, that's how you know that you are corrupt. And then he says, but you've been born again. Now you have been born, or you have a new life in the incorruptible, that in Jesus Christ. Now, that only applies if we wish to apply it. If we don't wish to apply it, you will continue to live a corrupt life. It's our decision. And people go, I can't control myself. No, you don't want to put the effort into controlling yourself. I don't know what overcomes me. Yes, you do. It's selfish desires. I was asked today if I was going to make you feel good. It'll get there. But that's the reality, guys. And this incorruptible is Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. And when the Holy Spirit lives within us, now we have a new guide. We have a new teacher. But just like when you were in school, you can only be taught if you wish to be taught. You'll only be led by that which you want to follow. And so if you don't want to follow God, guess what? Being saved is not magic to fix every problem in your life. It just gives you the solution for every problem in your life. But if you don't want to apply the solution, you still got big problems. Amen? I'm just saying, listen, it's kind of like a doctor going, I have the cure for COVID called ivermectin. If you wish to take it, here it is. And you go, nah, I'm pretty cool with COVID. You can keep the cure, right? And in your mind, you would go, what are you thinking? But you can only do that if you go back to if you're born again, right? And that's what Peter says. If you're born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. He says, listen, you can only have this incorruptible nature, this incorruptible ability to live in Christ, only if you've heard the word of God and believe it. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can get to heaven except through me. If you don't believe that, you're not saved. And I'll also say this, and boy, this right here just seems to rattle cages, so I don't know why I keep saying it. Maybe I like hearing the bars rattle, but at any rate, I ask people, do you believe this is the whole word of God? Truth, without error, infallible. And they're like, well, most of it. You're not saved. You don't have the Holy Spirit of God in you. Or they'll go, yeah, I believe the Bible's true. You believe Jonah was swallowed by a big fish for 3 days, sunk to the bottom of the ocean, the fish came up and vomited him out onto the beach? Ah, come on, Pastor, you're pushing it now. Ah, you're not saved. You're not saved. See, it's through the word of God that you hear. It's through the word of God that you believe. And it's through the word of God, and only through the word of God, that we can get saved, because that's where we hear truth. And then we believe in the truth we hear. And so Peter's just pointing this out. When he says, therefore, in 2:1, therefore takes us back to 1:23-25. And he's reminding his readers, he's reminding Christians that it's only through salvation are you about to have the ability to do what I'm about to tell you after therefore, and we'll find that out next week. It's only through that. And so if you got saved, or you believe that you got saved, but you're still holding on to the old world and you can't let go, you need to ask yourself if you really got saved. Like, you need to do a checkup from the neck up, but start with the heart. That's all I'm saying. You have to confirm this in your heart of hearts. The worst part in life is to believe a lie, and then the day you die, you find out it was all a lie because you deceived yourself. And we're, you realize that they say over 50% of those sitting in the pew today are going to go to hell because they believe they're saved, but they're not. Because they've depended on themselves or their works. Guys, there's so many things that we can do. We've talked about the litmus test. Amen. Remember, I've shared that with you. There's so many ways that you can know that you know that you know that you're saved. The Bible says in 1 John that we can know that we have eternal life. That we can know it, not hope so, but know so. And by the way, if you want to argue with me about the Word of God, you already have an issue. You're of incorruptible seed. It's just, it's just amazing to me how we got all these ways that we can verify it through the Word of God, that things that He tells us that we can pay attention to, and we throw it out because we want to go by feeling. Okay, let me tell you something. Feelings come and go. I love when I hear married couples and they say, "Well, we want a divorce now." Why? We just fell out of love. Let me help you out. You fall off cliffs, you fall in holes, you don't fall out of love. You make a conscious decision to walk away from the relationship. You make a conscious decision to no longer invest in that which you promised till the day you die. Don't fall out of love. You decided that something else roused a little bit in you, and you went with that feeling, and that feeling has destroyed what God called to be holy and righteous and good. See how that works? You can't go by feelings. Man, you get up in the morning, you're like, yeah, best day ever. I feel like this is going to be an amazing day. And I don't even get out of my house and the train wreck starts. Anybody been there? I'm just telling you, you can't go by feelings. We have to make a conscious decision to pursue God, and God will pursue us. We have to make a conscious decision to surrender to that which is right, and it'll be good. Can't go by feelings. My goodness. Did I say that like with? All right. Sorry. Here we go. Let's move on. All right. I just get, well, I feel, I don't care. All right. I'm moving on. I can't even do this. I gotta move my brain forward here. Here we go. Right. Sometimes you just hear things and you just shake your head like, really, that is a process of information you have? I can't grasp it. Here we go. Because we know, anyway. All right, verse 24. So in 23, it says, through the word, having been born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is like grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. And guess what happens to that? It withers and it dies, and the flowers fall away. I don't know about you, but listen, when I was 16 years old, 17 years old, even 20, even 23, 24, I had a beautiful head of hair and an amazing black beard, black. And as the grass and the flowers wither and fade, the beard withered, the hair faded. And as I get older, it's not going to stop. The good part is the hair can't fade any more than it has. The peppered beard is slightly peppered, but I have a feeling that's going to fade as it goes on. But I will say this, I am absolutely convinced hair does not fall out. I am 1,000% convinced it makes U-turns. It grows in places it never used to grow when I was 20. I digress. But when you read verse 24, the flesh, us people, we're like grass. all the glory of man as the flower of the grass withers and the flower falls away. But let me tell you what endures forever. Let me tell you what hangs in there. Let me tell you what's eternal. Let me tell you what never changes. Let me tell you what is never compromised. Let me tell you it's the Word of God. And so when people say, no, the Word of God needs to change and catch up to today. No, 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 no. We need to stop catching up and we need to go back. We need to hold on to that which is true, the Word of God. We need to adjust our lives to this and stop trying to adjust this to our lives. I am so over people saying, oh, well, that's not what that word meant. If it was an abomination to God in the beginning of time, it is an abomination to God today. Amen? Well, the word abomination didn't mean what it means today. You guys are just full of hate, and so you've given it a new meaning. Let me poke you in the eye so you can see better. Let me tell you something. The Word of God is the Word of God, and it will live and abide for how long? Forever. Does it change? No. I'm just here to tell you, we fade, and our desire and our love for God will fade if we don't hang in there. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 24 that in the end days, there'll be a great falling away. Boy, I'm seeing that today. Amen. I was talking to a gentleman who yesterday and I was inviting him to church, and he told me, I already go to church. I was like, dude, that's fantastic. And so we started talking. And he's telling me about his church. He goes, yeah, we used to run about 50. Now we run about 12. And I said, why do you think that is? He's 75, 76. He's older. I said, why do you think that is? And by this time, I'd already told him I was a pastor. And he said, you know, pastor, people just don't love Jesus anymore. It's faded. Falls away. Withers. And I'm going to tell you, everything that you don't take care of withers and fades away. Don't paint your house. After about 20 years, what's it going to look like? A barn. Amen. Don't take care of your car. Don't wash it. Just drive it every year in the salt. 7 years. Guess what you got? No, you got a holy car. Right. It's horrible, right? You have all this rust and it's terrible if you don't take care of it, right? Because everything on earth, what happens? Listen, man, this is all limited at best. At best, everything on earth has a time frame. It is limited. Limited. I can't stay 20 forever. Man, I'm telling you what, I get up and I'm like, I'm going to go work out. I get down here to work out and I'm like, ooh, man, I'm not today. When I was 20, man, I'd work out. Amen. Now I got to think about it. Actually, now I got to talk myself into it. Then when I get down there, I told my wife, I said, I have it is absolutely a murdering machine. It will absolutely withdraw any life from you. And you get on it, and it's like a combo of a stair stepper and an elliptical. And they say the goal is to get up to 14 minutes. And so I told my wife, I go, I got to get down there and get on it, because since the motorcycle accident, that's been my great excuse to leave it all alone. But I decided I'm starting to gain weight. And for me, when I put on weight, it looks like I'm putting a basketball under my jacket. And I'm just not into that. You know, it's kind of disturbing for me. And so I told her, I go, I got to lose weight. And I haven't been able to wear this suit for years. Now I got it on. It's a little snug, but I got it on. And so at any rate, right? But I go down there and I told her, I said, I'm going to get on this machine and I'm going to start out slow. And I'm going to get up to that 14, 15 minutes a day on it. And you might go, that's not long. You can get on the machine. And she goes, when? I go, I'm going to start on Monday. And as soon as that Monday rolls around and I figure out which Monday it was, I'm going to get on that machine and start Listen, I'm just going to tell you, if we don't make a conscious decision to make things happen, it won't happen. You can't wish it. You can't wish for it. You can't hope for it. You can pray, but God says, listen, this is for you to do. I'm not going to do that which you can do, right? And so we have to make a conscious decision. And so when Paul says here, or Peter says here in 2:1, therefore, and therefore he starts with laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking. And he goes on, right? He's saying, listen, because you can only do that through your source of salvation. And we find that in verse, when we went back into 1:25, the word of the Lord endures forever. And so as we look back at that, I want you to see the word of God was the source of salvation. 2 Timothy 3:15, if you pull that up. And from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Because if you remember, Timothy's mom and grandmother raised him up in the Word of God, taught him the Word of God. And Paul's just saying, listen, you have learned all your life since childhood about the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise or understanding for salvation through faith, which is only, I wish it would only, it would say only, but back then they didn't need to, because they didn't have the division of words like today, people trying to divide words and add to, and man, lawyers have, like, remember Bill Clinton, what is the definition of is? Paul didn't have this problem back then. He says, through faith, which is in Christ or in Christ alone. I want you also to see that because of God's transforming grace worked through the word to create new life. James 1:18. In James 1:18, it says, of his own will, his, you notice it's capitalized, that is God. Of God's own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. In other words, we are the most valuable, right? If you were to go back in scripture and God says, listen, I want a sacrifice, but I want the first fruits. I want the best. Give me the first. And it goes along with anything and everything that we do or give to God. It needs to be the first, because the first says, I recognize you before I recognize me. Now, many of us, like when it comes to tithing and giving to the Lord, we're like, oh, Lord, I'll give you if there's anything left over. But that's not first fruits, and that's not honoring God. And that goes that way with everything in our life. Even our schedule. God, you know what? I'm going to give you the first that I have in the morning. I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to cultivate this relationship. It's the first fruits, and we are the first fruits of his creatures, meaning that we are the most valuable. Do you realize Christ didn't die for anybody but us? You and me? Animals come and go. Bugs come and go. I know the EPA has a hard problem letting go of beetles that destroy homes and trees, so they'll let the homes and trees fall down to keep the beetle alive. But I'm going to tell you, God's like, no, no, no. It is mankind. You are the first fruits. You are that which I died for. I want you to see in John 20:31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. It is only through Jesus. If you're sitting here today and you think you're going to get to heaven by being good, you're never going to find a verse for that. And by the way, you're never going to find another book that says Jesus is the only way to heaven except for the scriptures. And so when people say, well, I don't believe that. I believe this book. Go research the author of that book and see what his life looks like. Bet you it's a train wreck. Research the author of this book and see what his life looks like. Holy. God is the author of the scriptures. People say, well, man wrote it. Yeah, by the movement of God through the Holy Spirit. I want you to see in Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. It takes the word of God for salvation. Why do you think I focus on the Word of God every week. It isn't for your feelings. It's for your salvation. And then once you're saved, it is for your growth, for your understanding, for your maturity in the Word, so that you make better decisions, so that you don't have to keep looking over your shoulder. Man, before I was saved, and many of you guys know my story, my testimony, before I was saved, listen, I was just not a nice guy. And I lived a life of such that I was constantly doing this. Constantly. Man, I found my brake lines on my truck had been cut a few times. I had my starter wired to the gas tank. I've had some crazy stuff. And at the time, my wife and I were dating, and she never got involved in anything. She didn't know what I was doing. And of course, I was a great liar too. So I kept her out of it. But there were crazy things in my life, right? And it was a constant, just a constant looking. Man, I go into a room and I went to the corner, or I put my back to the wall so I could observe everything that moved. Nothing moved that I didn't see. I'm telling you, nothing moved. I was so aware of everything because I was living just foolish. Then I get saved. And as I start growing, and that's what we're going to find in that Peter talks about, right? That you desire the sincere milk of the Word. You start growing in the Word of God. It starts changing your life. And then all of a sudden, I'm not living this corruptible life anymore. I'm trying to live for Jesus. I'm doing my best to do my best. And it's just a matter of time where I never did this anymore. I just looked forward, loved Jesus, told people about Jesus. Man, God just seemed to remove all that junk. All of it. Why? Because it is the hearing of the Word of God. I would start reading it. And as I'm reading it, I'm listening to it. As I'm listening to it, I'm trying to apply it. And God did amazing things. And by the way, let me tell you this. I never went on feeling. Because you know, in the beginning, you know how many times I had feelings to go back to, right? The Bible talks about it, man. Sometimes people, we get caught up in our own desires and we're like the dog that returns to its own vomit, right? We go back to what's disgusting and destructive with no value in it. And I'm just telling you, it's through the Word of God that you get saved. The faith comes through that. And then it's through the Word of God that you desire, right? The sincere milk of the Word. Man, you get so involved in the Word of God, and guess what you'll start doing? You'll start practicing that more and more and more and more, and you'll start practicing your sinful lifestyle less and less and less and less. And God says that He will give us what we ask for. You know why? Because what happens is, as we grow in the Word of God, we start asking for the things that God would have rather than the things that we would have. We're on the same page as God. And then He honors that. Listen, if you're struggling and you're like, man, I wish I had a good relationship with God. I wish God answered my prayers. I wish I wasn't, when I prayed, it didn't seem like it just hit the ceilings and went nowhere. Let me tell you why it's hitting the ceiling and not going anywhere. Let me tell you why you're living a life of sin and not a life through Christ. Is because you are still choosing the sinful lifestyle. Now, in your heart of hearts, you might be desiring to do better, but where's the effort going? You practice that sin which you're trying to get away from, and then while you're in it, this guilt rolls up on you. You're like, I can't believe I did this. I wish I wouldn't have done this. But the reality is, you chose to do that. You had a choice before you started practicing it. But once you're in it, your choice is made. Now here's the cool part. Jesus is in the morning just as He is in the evening. A new day. Do you realize that you can start your life over the moment you decide? Do you realize that you can start any moment to live for Christ and stop living for you, and it changes everything? You don't even have to wait till the morning. You can make a decision today. That's the beauty about God. That's the beauty about His Word. That was the beauty about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. He says, listen, I want to give you the victory. I don't want you to look over your shoulder for the evil that's coming back to get you for the evil you put out. I don't want you living in regret. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I don't know of anybody in here that's lived a worse lifestyle than I did before salvation. Not one person. Because I can tell you, the human mind can go to the depths that are unbelievable. And walk away with not even a feeling in your soul for any of what you just did. It becomes common practice. And you'll do it again and again and again and again. And after a while, there's no reservation. And after a while, there's no speed bumps. And then after a while, there's no stop signs. After a while, there's nothing to slow the human heart down from doing the evil in which he or she desires. Nothing. But if you feast on the Word of God, it'll change everything. I was talking to Josh. Josh, when did you get saved? So this past December, Josh got saved. I was talking to him. I think we talked a little bit yesterday, but we were talking this morning. And I said, Josh, how's it different, man? Like, how's it different? Because, dude, you've been through it. You're a young man, but you've been through it. And a lot of it not, he had nothing to do with, but from the events that happened in his life led him to respond, right? Because he had reacted to his feelings, and he responded as a natural man to do that which God doesn't like. And so I said, man, how's it different? And he said, you know, like I see clear now. And I used to drink, and I don't even drink anymore, and I don't even want to drink anymore. I'm sharing your testimony without asking. Is that okay? Thank you, brother. And he goes, I don't even want to drink anymore. And he goes, it's the craziest thing. Like, all those things that were confusing in my life are now as clear as a bell. And why? He's pursuing that, the things of God. And I tell people all the time, when you pursue the things of God, the stadium lights come on. And what I mean by stadium lights, because, you know, some people, they get a light, but there's a lot of shadow around them. Because what happens is they get the light of Jesus, but they still have the lust of the flesh. And that shadow is opportunity to get into the lust of the flesh. But when the stadium lights come on, there's no shadow either. And so all you see is that which God shines the light on, and you don't have a desire to turn around and go to the shadows. The shadows are the old life, right? Man, you look at a football game, they turn the stadium lights on, or the baseball game, they turn the stadium lights on. You don't have shadows out in that field, do you? Not one. And so for Josh, dude, I love you. The stadium lights came on for him. What changed? What made the difference? One thing. The Word of God. The Word of God brings life to the soul. And by the way, if you're living in the flesh, man, you're feeding death. You're feeding death and Satan. That's all you're feeding. And by the way, if you're feeding the flesh, Satan has become the God you're honoring. I mean, it's just truth, guys. I'm not even trying to hurt your feelings or make you feel bad. I'm trying to build you up and help you to see that if you want an escape, if you want out, if you want relief, it's the Word of God. And it'll start the moment you desire it. It'll start the moment you surrender yourself and live for God. That's when it starts. And if you're still wondering and you go home, you're like, Pastor said it'll start the minute I surrender, and it hasn't started yet. You haven't surrendered. Just look in the mirror. You know in the desires of your heart. Man, I was praying for something and have been praying for something for about 2 years now. And I still don't have it. This morning I was praying. And when I was praying, I was like, Lord, why haven't you answered this prayer? And just as clear as a bell, God says, you haven't surrendered the rest. You surrender your heart, I'll answer your prayer. Just as clear as the bell. Listen, I'm very transparent. You guys know this. I'm just here to tell you, I'm no different than you. Man, I got to get on my knees and pray and pray and pray, and I read and I study. I have to, because if I don't, I can't get in the pulpit. I'll disqualify myself. That's just truth. Man, I'm telling you, I'm no more special than anybody in this room. But I'm going to tell you what I do know. Boy, the flesh is alive and well if we feed it. And so is that sudden destruction. Because God says, I got to honor my word. As faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and your growth, your raising up, guys, is you got to get in the word. The word operates not as perishable seed or the natural seed, which you and I, 1 Corinthians 15, 36 through 37, and I got to get rolling or else this will be a two-week message on therefore. Foolish one, all right? I know this is talking to me, not to you guys. So, foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. God cannot honor what you do unless what you do lines up with him. And if you don't kill what's in the flesh, you are the foolish one. You are the foolish one. And what you sow, if you sow in righteousness, you're going to get nothing. You got to die to yourself and live unto the Lord. And I don't know about you, but sometimes dying to yourself is the hardest thing there is to do. Amen. Man, you know how many times I get this unbelievable lusting in my heart for DQ. I'm like, Lord, that is not even good for me as I'm driving to DQ. Lord, forgive me because I'm going to get a large and I know I need a small. I'm just saying, right? It doesn't go away until you kill it. The imperishable seed, the seed of God, Luke 8:11. I know I'd skip the verse, just jump with me. Now the parable is this, the seed of the word of God. If you go back and you read in Luke 8, chapter 8, you find out all the different seeds. And the one that he's talking about is the seed is the word of God, that which gets planted in you, that which makes the difference. The word of God, or the seed, is the word of God that when you plant it in your heart, it will absolutely bring forth amazing fruit. But if you don't plant the word of God in your heart, you're going to get the tares. You're not going to get the wheat. You're not going to get that. You listen, it's kind of like, how many of you ever, you just get so hungry and so you go, let me just do a Snickers candy bar to get me through the moment. Amen. Right. It takes you from hangry to, okay, I got this fake false energy that I can survive on until I get home to do what? To get the real dinner, the real food. Because the fake food doesn't, it disguises energy as real energy. It disguises as something good for you. But the reality is that Snickers bar, as wonderful as it is, is poison to the soul, amen, or to the body. And that's the way sin is. Sometimes as wonderful as it tastes, it's poison to the soul. And so we have to decide, we have to choose, are we going to poison ourselves every day, or are we going to feed us or feed our body on what is real and what is good? And then someone said, well, you know, I don't remember everything I've ever read or every sermon the pastor preaches or blah, blah, blah. He's talking, this young guy talking to the older guy. And he goes, so I don't see the need in going to church. I don't see the need in reading and this and that. And the old guy says, you know, I've been married for almost 50 years now. And he said, in those 50 years, besides a handful of times, my wife has cooked me dinner every day for those 50 years. And I can't tell you what she cooked every day. I can't even remember which meals were good and which ones were bad. But here's what I can tell you. They sustain me. And I'm going to tell you, reading the Word of God, sometimes we read good things that we like, and sometimes we read bad things we don't care for. It's not bad because it's bad. It's bad because we don't like it. Amen? But what does it do? It sustains us. It grows us. As the sincere milk of the Word, 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 3. And he lists all these five things that are just horrendous in our life, and that if we had the Word of God, we could get rid of them. Malice, deceit. Oh, these are some beautiful words we're going to talk about later. They're not beautiful because they're beautiful. They're beautiful because they catch our attention to what displeases God so that we can fix it. That's the beauty of it. Amen? Sometimes the most ugly things are the most beautiful because they pull us back into reality. All right, let's look quickly into 1 John 3:9. 1 John 3:9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. All right. But for those of you sitting here and you're like, I'm born again. It means I never sin again? This literally would read, if you were to go back in the Greek, the original Greek, it would literally read, whoever has been born of God does not continue in sin. That does not is a constant active word in the Greek. So it would literally, born of God does not continue in sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. He cannot continue. There's a constant action in this verse. So if you continue in sin and it doesn't bother you, you really need to ask yourself if you're born again. If you can continue in sin and do that which the Word of God tells you not to do, and you have no problems doing it, you really need to ask yourself if you're born again. Because if you, the Bible tells us you can't continue in it. I want you to see that the source of our spiritual transformation and our spiritual growth, Psalm 119, 105. And you can write this down, and I'm going to try and blast through this because I just have a few minutes and I have 35 verses. Here we go. Look at this. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You want to be guided. You want that which is good. You want to honor God. You want to do what's right. You want to not have to look over your shoulder for someone coming because you did them wrong. You do what God says to do, and he will guide your every step. And you go, God doesn't guide my steps. It's because you don't know the Word of God. You don't even know what God expects from you. Guys, I'm going to tell you, if you want to live a righteous life, it's going to take a great deal of effort. People say, oh, Christians, man, they just need a crutch. The hardest life to live is a righteous life. The hardest life I've ever had to live is that which is right according to God rather than what is right according to me. Man, if Christianity is easy, I messed something up really bad somewhere because I need to go back and figure out where the easy is. I don't know about you, but the toughest thing to do is to live a righteous life. Amen? Am I the only one? I want you to see here in John 15:3. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. It's the word of God which cleans us up. John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Guys, this is it. Contrary to what the world says, this is it. You go out in the world and you know what they're going to say? You've been brainwashed. You've been brainwashed. Because you can tell by my personality, I'm easy to brainwash. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Romans 15:4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. The purpose of the word of God, and there's only one purpose of the word of God, is for us. For our learning and our growing and maturing and victory in life. That's what the word of God is for. I want you to see Ephesians 5:26. Excuse me, Ephesians 5:26. That he, God, might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, talking about the church, that Jesus would cleanse us, clean us up, make us acceptable unto God. How? By the word. Guys, if you're struggling in life, the struggle is not God. The struggle is not even this. The struggle is us getting in this and then obeying it. That's the struggle. That's why Christianity is not easy. And people say, well, man wrote the Bible. Man would never condemn himself to such a place as hell or hold himself to a level that almost seems almost impossible to obtain. Man wouldn't do that to himself. But yet, man wrote the Bible. You can't believe it. Good, try to keep it. The man that wrote this, he wrote what he cannot even obtain. And so to believe that man wrote this without God is insanity. Anyway, I digress. Here we go. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Maybe not. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That's the key word, profitable. And you're going to see that it's profitable for the good and the bad in our life. Amen. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Why does God give us the word of God? And why should we follow it? Because God says, if you do that, you will be complete, lacking nothing. You know, the majority of people today, they're like, I got this big hole and I don't know how to fill it. And so what do? We go to drinking, we go to drugs, we go to sex, we go to porn, we go to eating, we go to spending money, going shopping, buying. We do everything we can think of that pleases us for the moment, because we're trying to satisfy this void that's within us. And I'm going to tell you, the void is the lack of the word of God. That's the void. And I also tell you this, it is way cheaper than everything else I just mentioned. Because I'm willing to give you a Bible. Can you imagine that if you read this and practiced this, how much money you would save? Oh my goodness. A ton of money. A ton of money. Of course, I don't smoke, but I do look, because I used to smoke. Marlboro Red, baby. Don't hit me. Today. And so I remember when they were $1.20 a pack. And then I looked today, and some of you guys are like, you're really old. No, I'm not. It's just the gray. Remember, it faded. But now, there was a lady at the gas station in front of me. She drives in a hoopty car that I don't even know how it made it into the parking lot. And that was the safest place for it, was parked. She gets out. She's got jogging pants on that are just tattered to the core. Holes in them, dirty. They look like they hadn't been washed in months. Hair matted and oiled. And it's like, take a shower. And I'm standing behind her, light odor. And I'm thinking, I need to help this woman out. Not because, like, maybe she's going to buy something or gas and I'll pay for it. I'll help her out, because obviously she's out, you know, down and out. She orders $100 in lottery tickets. and a carton of cigarettes. And the carton of cigarettes, I was dumbfounded, was $112. And I looked and I went, I was done. You're going to scratch $100 and throw it in the trash, and you're going to go home and you're going to smoke $100 and throw it in the trash. Man, you got this bad habit of burning up money. Can you imagine that if she got into the Word of God and understood who she was in God and her value in God and how much God loves her and how heaven could be her home and how this, it would absolutely complete everything that she's longing for. It would fill that void in her heart. How much money she would save and the difference in life and her quality of life. And that was the other thing when I was talking to Josh, and Josh said, it is amazing how clear my mind is. I see things so clearly now, because you know what he's doing? He's looking at things through the lens of God. Not the lens of himself when he was distraught and drinking and trying to forget the bad deal that he was handed in life. I'm just telling you this right here, guys. Oh boy, if I could just... Four seed. I just think about that. God says, man, guys, I'm giving you everything. Everything. This is the therefore in the passage today. I'm giving you everything. I didn't give you everything so that you can enjoy life. I gave you life so you can enjoy everything. And here's how you obtain that. You got to read. Pastor, I don't read. You're going to struggle. Pastor, I don't have time for that. You're going to struggle. I love Jesus. Do you spend time with him? I'm so busy. You're going to struggle. And you're lying to yourself. You don't love Jesus. That which we love, we spend time with. And you can't say you love God and then never spend time with him. It doesn't equate. It's like me telling my wife, I love you. I'll see you next week when I get home every week. Or my wife saying, babe, let's go do this. I don't have time for that. I got this to do. Hey, babe, you want to cuddle? I ain't got time for that. I got this to do. You want to watch a movie? I don't have time for that. I got this to do. Hey, let's go out to dinner. I don't have time for that. I got this to do. Hey, let's just go for a ride. We won't spend no money. We'll just a little bit of gas money. Let's just go spend some time and ride around like we used to. I don't have time for that. I got this to do. And then you're going to convince your spouse that you love them? How many is going to believe it? But you want God to believe that. See, you want to be complete? You want to fill that hole? You want to stop looking at the world to find everything that you don't need to think that it's going to fill that square peg that you're trying to put in a round hole. It's not going to fit. It's not going to work. Romans chapter 1, God put it into every human being, the knowledge of him. Why? Because only he will fill that void that you're desperately seeking in life. Whether you are giving yourself away, whether you're sexually immoral, you're drinking, you're drugs, you're porn on computers, you're Facebook for 6 hours a day, you name it. Whatever it is that is absolutely consuming your time and you, that's what you're trying to fill where only God fits. And you're never going to be complete until you get into the Word of God and live it and practice it. That's why when Peter gets to chapter 2, verse 1, before he starts listing all the things that we need to get rid of and the way we need to adjust our life and how we can have victory and all the things that will grow us and mature us and make us strong, being the word of God, before he even goes back to that in verses 1, 2, and 3, what he does is he says, therefore, let me go back. Let me remind you that the life is in the word of God through God and nothing else. And if you don't grab that, why are we going forward? Because you're going to fail. You're going to fail. Not because I said so or I just now corrupted you and went, you called me a failure and I'll never succeed now because pastor just called me a failure. No, I'm telling you that if we don't do it, I'm included in this, if we don't do it God's way, we will fail. We will fail spiritually. We will fail emotionally. We will fail physically. Either that is true or God's a lie. It's one or the other. Either what I just said is absolutely truth, or you're going to say I'm wrong and you're going to call God a liar and God's word a liar. Guys, I'm just saying, I'm not trying to beat anyone up. I'm not trying to make anybody feel God, and I'm definitely not self-righteous. I'm just telling you, I acknowledge what is real and what is truth. And if you don't do the same, you are doomed to repeat failing history. And there's no other way out. There's none. You can build yourself up. You can go read self-help books. You can listen to Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer and Kenneth Copeland and all those other whack jobs. You can listen to all them. Because you know what they say? Spend the money, you'll get money, and you'll feel good because you got money. I need a new jet. God called you to give $1,000. Wow, have your best life now. It's all in Ovaltine. Drink it up and you'll be good. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. The only thing that's going to make us complete, satisfied, lacking nothing and wanting nothing else, is the Word of God. That's it. And that's what Peter says. And he says, listen, I'm just telling you, the saving, and I got 25 more verses, 30. I don't even have time to get into them. But I'm going to tell you this. If you want to be complete, if you're tired of being miserable and fighting that, because how many times do you go and you even go to the fridge, you open it up and you look in. Oh, nothing good there. Close it. Walk back out to the living room. About 4 minutes, roughly, 3.5. Go back to the fridge. Because somebody went grocery shopping while you were in the living room. Ain't nothing good in here. Walk away, go to the next room or whatever. Like, hey, come on, man. Because, you know, you're convinced somebody's going shopping or they've hid whatever it is you want because you don't know what you want. But it's in there. And we look again. And then it's like, oh, they moved it to the cupboard. Because everything in the fridge will last in the cupboard. So let's go to the cupboard. And we look in the cupboard. Well, it can't exist here. I want something cold. Let's go back to the fridge. Man, there ain't nothing in this fridge. I don't want, right? And you're struggling for this thing that you desire, but you have no clue what it is. You can't see it, but you know it's there because you keep going back looking for it. How many guilty? Yeah, right? The Word of God is what you're looking for in life. He'll stop you from returning to the crazy, to the insane, to the ungodly, to the things that are destroying you, making holes in your life, making holes in your marriage, making holes in your relationships, dividing you from your children, dividing you from your job, dividing you from God, dividing you from everything. Because I'm telling you, Satan is constantly on the prowl to divide and to conquer you. And all he's got to do to conquer you and to conquer me is to keep us out of this. That's it. He doesn't have to do anything else. Nothing. Just get you too busy for this, and he's got you. That's it. You'll always be lacking, always be wandering, and you'll never be complete. Because this is what you're looking for. Satan knows it. He knows it's the only thing that's going to fill that hole. And so if he can keep you focused on everything else, he's got you. He's got you. And by the way, he only needs to keep you out of this. Doesn't take a lot of effort. He's got us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to tell you right up front, you won't go to heaven. There's no hope. I'm not trying to be dismal about this. I'm simply telling you that life is in the Word of God, because that's where God put it. And if you believe in the Word of God, that means you believe in God. But if you're here today and you just want to be complete, you need to fill the void, that hole that just seems to consume you and destroy you on a daily basis. If you want to give your life to Christ, you pray this prayer. Now, the words aren't magical. They're not going to save you. The words just are a roadmap to guide you through what you really want in your heart. That's it. That's the only thing that it does. I just don't know of a better way to get you to Jesus than to walk you through it as such. The Bible says that in order to go to heaven, you have to put your faith in Jesus Christ. What does that look like? You have to believe that he died on the cross for your sins. You have to believe that he conquered the grave. He conquered hell, and he's at the right hand of the Father today. I didn't say you had to understand it all. I said you had to believe that he did that. The Bible says, for with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And then with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. There's no other way. There's no other way to be complete than through the Word of God, and that's what the Word of God says. But if it's your desire to give your life to Jesus Christ, you pray this prayer quietly to yourself. And again, the words aren't magical. If you don't believe this in your heart, don't pray it. Don't try to talk yourself into it and convince yourself of a lie. Don't do that. You're better off to leave here the way you came in than to convince yourself that something happened that didn't and go out. I'm not trying to recruit you. I'm not looking for you to join the church, give money. I don't want any of that. What I want you to do is hear the Word of God, believe the Word of God, surrender to the Word of God. That's it. What you do from there is between you and God. But if it's your desire, you pray this prayer quietly in your heart. Lord, today I surrender. I believe, Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you conquered death and hell in your right hand of the Father. I don't understand it all, but I believe, Jesus, that you are the only way to heaven. Today, I accept that. I surrender to that. Today, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins, all the wrong I've ever done. I ask that you forgive me. Today, I repent. I am going to turn away from my selfish desires, and I'm going to turn to you, Lord. Today, I surrender. Jesus, I believe that you died for me and that I have life through you. And in that, I praise you and thank you.